Purvani Pucharane, Nirvase Sisindivani, Pastita Adisatarane. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, entitled Liberation, Chapter 13, entitled The Dynasty of Maharaj Nimi, and we are on text number 11. Deva Uchu Vedeha Ushyatang Kamang Vedeya Ushyatam Kamang Lochaneshu Saririnam Lochaneshu Sadirinam Unmeshana Nemeshabhyam Unmeshana Nemeshabhyam Lakshito Jatma Sangstita Lakshito Jatma Sangstita Deva Uchu Vedeya Ushyatam Kamang Lochaneshu Saririnam Unmeshana Nips, let's see. Unmeshana Nimeshabhyam Lakshito Jatma Sangstita Deva Uchu Vedeya Ushyatam Kamang Lochaneshu Saririnam Unmeshana Nimeshabhyam Lakshito Jatna Sangstita Deva Uchu Lochaneshu Saririnam Unmeshana Nimeshabhyam Lakshito Jatma Sangstita Matajis Deva Uchu Lochaneshu Saririnam Unmeshana Nimeshabhyam Lakshito Jatma Sangstita Deva Uchu Vedeya Ushyatam Kamang
Lochanesu Saririnam Vimesana Nimesabhyam Lakshito Dharma Samsita Deva Uchu Deva Toshitam Kamam Lochanesu Saririnam Vimesana Nimesabhyam Lakshito Dhatma Samhita Deva Uchu Deva Uchu Deya Yusitam Kamam Otaneshu Saririnam Meshana Nameshabhyam Deva Uchu.
The demigods said,
Videha.
Without any material body.
Ushatam.
You live.
Kamam.
As you like.
Lochaneshu.
In the vision.
Saririnam.
Of those who have material bodies.
Unmeshana.
Nimesabhyang.
Become manifest
and unmanifest
as you desire.
Lakshita,
being seen.
Adhyatma,
sangstita,
situated in a spiritual body.
Translation.
The demigod said, let Maharaj Nimi live without a material body. Let him live in a spiritual body as a personal associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And, according to his desire, let him be manifest or unmanifest to common materially embodied people. Responsibly, please. The demigods said,
let Maharaj Nimi
live without a material body.
Let him live
in a spiritual body
as a personal associate
of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
And according to his desire,
let him be manifest
or unmanifest
to common
materially embodied people.
Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
The demigods wanted Maharaj Nimi to come to life.
But Maharaj Nimi did not want to accept another material body.
Under the circumstances, the demigods, having been requested by the saintly persons, gave him the benediction that he would be able to stay in his spiritual body. There are two kinds of spiritual bodies as generally understood by common men. The term spiritual body is sometimes taken to refer to a ghostly body. An impious man who dies after sinful activities is sometimes condemned so that he cannot possess a gross material body of five material elements, but must live in a subtle body of mind, intelligence, and ego. However, as explained in Bhagavad Gita, devotees can give up the material body and attain a spiritual body free from all material tinges, gross and subtle. Chaktva deyam punarjanma naitimam eti suvarjana. Thus, the demigods gave King Nimi the benediction that he would be able to stay in a purely spiritual body free from all gross and subtle material contamination. The Supreme Personality of Godhead can be seen or unseen according to his own transcendental desire. Similarly, a devotee, being Jivan Mukta, can be seen or not seen as he chooses. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Naham Prakasya Sarvasya Yoga Maya Samavrita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is not manifest to everyone and anyone. To the common men, he is unseen. Atakshi Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriyai. Krishna and his name, fame, qualities, and paraphernalia cannot be materially understood. Unless one is advanced in spiritual life, Sevan Mukhe Hijivado, one cannot see Krishna. Therefore, the ability to see Krishna depends on Krishna's mercy. The same privilege of being seen or unseen according to one's own desire was given to Maharaj Nimi. Thus, he lived in his original spiritual body as an associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastha Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tanamane Namaste Sadasata Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nirvasesha Sunyavadi Pastachadi Satarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukam karoti vachalam, pangum langayate girim. Yakripa tamaham vande, sigurum dinataranam.
So we could ascertain if we heard or read this pastime without full knowledge, that we would maybe come to the conclusion to doubt the Srimad Bhagavatam as being authentic. Because earlier on in this pastime, we hear about Maharaj Nimi and Vasishtha Muni having like a quarrel, and they each cursed each other to death. So, I mean, maybe we could say, okay, Vasishtha Muni cursed Maharaj Nimi to death, and he got his due reward, so to speak, for doing that. He was born again in the material world. Not just born again in the material world, but born from the conjugal affairs of a lusty woman, so to speak, Sukuntala. And because it is described that whatever consciousness one has, when two people get together and do this act, that they attract a soul corresponding to their consciousness. That is why it's a risky endeavor having children. See here, if you want to have good children, you can't be lusty. If you want sober children, you have to be sober. But this activity is very difficult to be sober. Because it produces such an intense material pleasure, so to speak. So much so that it's very, very, very rare that one can forego this pleasure while in this world. It's a rare thing. That is why we pay our respects and our obeisances to genuine celibates, brahmacharis and sannyasis. For here they are, in the material world with material bodies, but they are foregoing voluntarily the pleasures that the material body has to offer. And why? Because they're trying to endeavor in spiritual life. So when one voluntarily accepts material inconvenience for the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this form of worship is the highest form of worship. So this gives us a reason to honor genuine brahmacharis and genuine sannyasis. So, in this purport, there is one shloka that is being quoted by Srila Prabhupada. Atak Sri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Graimendriyai Sevan Mukhe Hijivado Swayam Eva Sparatida. Now, it starts out with the words ata. Does anyone know what ata means? Therefore. Very good. You've been in a few Bhagavatam classes. Some words you hear over and over again, and it eventually seeps in and you learn a few Sanskrit words. So, when you hear the word therefore at the beginning of a statement, then what do you question? You question what was spoken before this. Because it's in reaction to a previous statement that another statement is being made here. So I researched it. I got on the Veda by base and I typed in this sloka, Taksi Krishna Namadi, and I found out where it is located. It is originally from the Padma Purana, but it is quoted by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur did not write Shastra, so to speak. He quoted Shastra and delineated pastimes. He didn't speak from his mind. He spoke from his ears and presented to us the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as he had heard it and he had read it. So, the previous sloka is as follows. Krishna Nama, Krishna Guna, Krishna Lila Vrinda. Krishnera Swarupa Sama Sabha Chid Ananda. Krishna's holy name, transcendental qualities, and transcendental pastimes are all equal, Sama, equal to Lord Krishna himself. They are all spiritual and full of bliss. So this explains why ata, therefore, you can't understand Krishna with the material senses. Because the material senses are materially contaminated. You cannot perceive Krishna with something that's not spiritual. And
In our eyes, if you have a material body, the eyes, the nose, the ears, you know, everything else in relation to this body in regards to senses, they can't perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But so it's described that Sevan Mukhe, that by service through the face, and then it gets more specific, he, certainly Jiva Do, starting with the tongue. So the face, you have, you know, I guess you consider the ears part of the face, and you got the eyes, and you got the nostrils, and you got the mouth, and you have the tongue. So especially the tongue. Jiva Do, beginning with the tongue. I mean, we can all become purified by seeing the form of the Lord. We can all become purified by hearing the pastimes of the Lord. We can become purified by smelling the flowers that are offered to the deity. We can become purified by tasting the prasadam that's offered by the Lord. That's another use of the tongue. But especially the tongue in regards to this is that one uses his tongue to chant Krishna's name. And so that is like the very beginning of spiritual life. And tesam satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam didami yogam, let's see, didami buddhi, I lost my intelligence for a second there. Didami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the intelligence by which they can come to me. So Krishna sees someone who's chanting his holy name, and he, within the heart, gives that devotee the ability to approach him. So, in other words, we are all dependent on Krishna's mercy because Krishna gives us everything that we need to approach him. First of all, he has given us a human form. Generally, it's understood that you cannot approach Krishna with a animal form. Of course, there's exceptions to the rule, but that is generally understood, that the human life, it has a specific design to it. It has a specific purpose to it, which is self-realization. Just like in the very beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Atato Brahma Jigasha, that purpose of life, human life, is to make inquiry, you know, into the nature of the absolute truth. This is natural for a human being. Just like when you're a kid and you look up into the sky and you think, where does the sky end? But then you use a little bit of reason, use intelligence, and you say, it can't end. Because if there's always something after the end, if it's something like if there's a brick wall up there somewhere, then there's something behind the brick wall. It just, you know, there's always something behind a brick wall. And how can there, so this becomes like a quandary in the mind of a conditioned soul, this perception of eternity, which, because it's spiritual, it cannot be understood by the material mind. So then one would naturally inquire, so what is, you know, the answer? What is this all about? It's like I cannot possibly understand
even eternity. And eternity is like the manifestation of Krishna's energy. It's his impersonal energy, actually. And even higher than that, even more difficult to understand, is Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's name, Krishna's how his paraphernalia is completely spiritual, full of bliss and full of knowledge. That is even on a higher level, and so therefore it's more difficult to understand. So there's so many things that we can't understand with our material senses. And just like in this pastime, it's described here that Maharaj Nimi, he went back to Godhead after he was cursed. And not only after he was cursed, but it appears that he acted in a revengeful way and counter-cursed, which would indicate that he got angry at this, you know, Vasishta. Was it Vasishta? Anyway, yeah. So he got angry at him, which would mean that, you know, he's going through the gate, one of the three gates leading to hell. Lust, anger, and greed, right? The three gates leading to hell. Does anyone know this sloka? What's the first word? Trividam Natakasedam. I had forgotten. Dwaram means gate. Nashnamatmana. Kama krodas tata lobas. Tasmat etang trayang chajet. So, how did he go back to Godhead? You know, he got angry. He went to revenge. So this is the mistake of a conditioned soul. It's called jumping to conclusions. When you jump to conclusions, you can make very serious errors. For it's not delineated in here the consciousness of Maharaj Nimi when he counter-cursed Vasishta Muni. But we can philosophically speculate that he didn't do it in anger, because he went back to Godhead. So then we can go through the Shastra, the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam and other literatures, especially in those in this age of Kali, which the Shastra for the age of Kali is full of stories, because stories keep our attention. They hopefully keep us from falling asleep while we're reading the Srimad Bhagavatam and hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because this is the age of Kali. We can't just hear philosophy. We need stories that illustrate philosophy so we can hear and learn like this, like children. They need storybooks. So in the age of Kali, we need storybooks that give us that give us lessons, that give us understandings. So in these pastimes, in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear about Narada Muni. He was wandering through the forest in the heavenly planets, and he came across two drunken sons of demigods, Nalu Kuvera and Manigriva. And they were not wearing clothes, and they were with women that were not wearing clothes, and they were in the water and having a good time. And when Narada Muni came by, the ladies had the decency to quickly cover themselves and hide, so to speak. But Manigriva and Nala Kuvera, because of being under the influence of not only lust but intoxication, And very proudly just stood there in front of Narada Muni in their birthday suits. So Narada Muni kind of like, okay. He cursed them. Did he do this out of anger? He did it out of compassion. So therefore, it was not a materially contaminated state of consciousness when Narada Muni cursed. He benedicted them with a curse. So we can come to a conclusion that somehow or other, he, you know, this Maharaj Nimi, he's a great soul. He's such a great soul that after he left this world by the curse of Vasishtha Muni, the demigods wanted him back. He was such a good king. He was such an example for his subjects, and it left a vacuum. And so they you know, underwent, you know, the challenge of bringing him back from death, so to speak. And even when, you know, they contacted him and said, "We want you to come back into your body," they preserved the body in some kind of elixir, and so that he could inhabit it again. And he said, "No way, I'm not going back into that body. That, you know, that body, you know, these material bodies are just nothing but trouble." He had absolutely no desire to enter into a material body again, leave a spiritual body and go into a material body. Nope, I'm not going to do it. So the demigods somehow or other made the arrangement so he would remain in his spiritual body. But if he allowed common people to see him, they could see him. But if he didn't want them to see him, he would be invisible to them. So this is the situation here in the material world. And when you're young, you have a tendency to feel that there's some future for you here in this material world. But as time progresses and the body ages and the body starts malfunctioning, and when a body, material body, malfunctions, it generally brings pain. And this is no fun. And you start feeling naturally like, wow, I'm ready for the end of this body. And you just pray that, please, Krishna, let this body go. But don't, please, give me as little pain as possible. Because pain is a very difficult phenomena to tolerate. But we are forced to go through it. And great devotees go through it. And they're forced to go through it. And as Srila Prabhupada stated to his disciples, when he was going through this, "Do not think that this will not happen to you." So he gave this is a story of Srila Prabhupada that we can learn from. So what is the solution? Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janat Yasuvaragyam Jnanam Chiyada Haitukam. That by rendering service to Vasudev, one automatically, it's like you get you flip a switch, you automatically develop causeless knowledge and detachment. So if one renders service to Krishna, then one develops, which means it's not happening right like that. It's in due course of time. It's automatic. You will start feeling like detachment from the material body. Your identification to the material body will slacken. And as time progresses and you make more and more spiritual progress, it's like you just can't do it and then give it up and expect it to be a pleasure ride. But if you're constantly engaging in devotional service and endeavoring to please Krishna and Guru, then as time progresses, your attachment to the body and realization of your relationship to Krishna simultaneously develops, then the pains and the pleasures of this material world, they don't push you or pull you away from your devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if one is able to see the future, and we can see the future through the eyes of Shastra, and we can also see the future through the eyes of logic, that, you know, we all have these material bodies, and the destiny of the material body is not good. It's not something that we, you know, should think that it's going to be forever full of joy and happiness. And we have a lot to look forward to in this material world being inhabited in these bodies. That's just not true. And so therefore, one hears the Shastra, one practically applies the Shastra in his life, and one gets saved from a lot of trouble, a lot of pain, and a lot of suffering. Just like when Srila Prabhupada was going through his pastime of leaving this world. I mean, I'm pretty skinny. But Srila Prabhupada, he was really skinny. He was skin and bones, literally. And when one has a body that is skin and bones due to prolonged illness, the nerve endings become exposed and it becomes intolerably painful to even lie on a bed or to be touched or to move anything. So the doctors were amazed that Srila Prabhupada, in that condition, was able to, with full attention and he had his full faculties, his intelligence and his mind, to continue on with his service to his spiritual master of giving us Srimad Bhagavatam. So you read the 10th canto, the Brahma Mohana Lila. This is when Srila Prabhupada is going through would be a common man is intolerable pain. But here he is giving very philosophical and in a lot of ways entertaining delineation of Krishna's pastimes. So this goes to show the transcendental position of a pure devotee. Although materially they're going through a difficult situation, they don't identify with it. They're separate from it. It's simply happening to Bhumirapo Nalo Vayu Kamano Buddha Evacha. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. And then there's the mind, intelligence, and ego. It's simply external, separate from the soul. And then this next sloka in this seventh chapter of Gita, Aparayamitvastanyam prakitim vidime param jivabhuta mahabaho yayedam dadate jagat. That the living entity, he's separate from this earth, water, fire, air, you know, these elements. That's not him. But those that identify with it, thinking it is them, they suffer. They struggle in the material world. And their future is not bright, so to speak. So when a spiritual aspirant comes to this realization, first of all, understanding, and then gradually realization, then he can develop compassion. For he has been through it himself, and he's been become, you know, he's been through the, you know, going, being in a material body, being born, and, you know, being young, and possibly even becoming, you know, pulled and pushed by the urges of the senses. But then, while in a contaminated state, continues on rendering devotional service and going through the struggles. And then gradually, as time progresses, the living entity gets some detachment and some knowledge because he's hearing and chanting about Krishna. And then he becomes in a purified state in his older age. And you cannot judge like a book by not only its cover, but its full story. Because the story can change. The consciousness can change of a living entity. And he can have once been quite a debauchee, so to speak. But later on, due to association with great souls, Shushusho Sadadanasya Vasudeva Kataduchi Sian Mahatsevya Vipra Punya Tirta Nasevanat. But if you render service to advanced personalities, spiritual advanced personalities, Sushushu Sadadanich Vasudevika Sian Mahat Sevaya. Mahat, great soul, you do service to them, then one gets ruchi, one gets taste for hearing the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if one hears about the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it, you know, automatically you develop some, you become spiritually advanced. It's a byproduct. So therefore, as this sloka says, therefore, we should very sincerely take up the process of Krishna consciousness. And why? Because it's the constitutional position of the living entity, Krishnara Supar Krishna Nityadas. And if we don't, we will have to suffer pain. So we get pushed because of the sure and certain coming of pain and suffering if we don't. And we get attracted because we hear about how life in the spiritual world in service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so full of ecstasy in it, with a humble mind, with a humble state of consciousness, then one can actually experience a whole life on a whole different level. An opposite of this is a life full of pride. It's actually called false pride. Because why is it called false pride? Because you have really nothing to be proud of if you're identifying yourself with a material body and material senses. You have really nothing to be proud of if you are a good-looking, handsome man, or a very beautiful young lady. Or you have nothing really to be proud of if you have a lot of intelligence, or if you have a lot of fame, if you have a lot of money. You're actually a fool if you become proud because you have these material opulences, because they, just as they came, you didn't have them previously. You know, when you were born into this world, you didn't have a bank account, and you weren't an attractive young woman or a handsome young man when you were born, but it came upon you later. So just as it comes, then it will go. So if one becomes proud, then when it goes, it's a painful situation. But if one understands and practices spiritual life very sincerely as time progresses, then one may have been a very wealthy or handsome or learned young man. And when, you know, Alzheimer's sets in, and when the skin starts to sag, and when the body doesn't function properly like it used to, it's not such a big deal, because you never got proud of what you had when you were young. And so therefore you can actually go through old age gracefully, so to speak, and face the reality, and because of knowledge and detachment, which is the gift of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that one receives by very sincerely and regularly hearing and chanting his name, his pastimes, etc. So, I guess we have a few minutes. Would anyone like to make any comments or make any corrections or so on and so forth? Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you for a nice lecture. I have a question. You just mentioned that when Ramoni cursed Manigriva and Narakura because of his compassion to these two brothers. And also I memorized there is also a curse from Parvati, cursed a king.
Chitraketu.
Yeah. If it's because of the curse, if it's because of compassion, where there is another something in her curse. And also in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many curses from some people. Yeah. So my question is that how to know it is a curse only because of compassion, and how to know there is a curse from maybe with other emotions. This is my first question.
In the Bhagavatam, in his pastime with Parvati and cursing Chitraketu, Parvati jumped to conclusions. She didn't understand the consciousness of Chitraketu. Chitraketu was actually thinking, wow, he's such an exalted soul that he can have his wife sitting on his lap, and he's totally free from any physical attraction to her, and he can be giving spiritual discourse to great saints and sages while his wife is on his lap. But she misunderstood and thought, oh, he's making fun of my husband. And so therefore, you know, she cursed him. So this pastime, it delineates the exalted qualities of Chitraketu. That although he was unfairly cursed, he tolerated it and accepted it. And he became a demon, had a demon's body, but actually he was a devotee. And when Indra was in the process of fighting with him, he was wanting Indra to kill him and, you know, get my prison term, you know, in this demon body over, so to speak. And it was very, very bewildering to Indra when this was happening, because here he's a demon and he's telling me to, you know, hurry up, you know, get this over with. And so showing his exalted position as a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although in a so-called body of a demon. So this is another pastime of a curse, and how Parvati, was she misunderstood? Was this the arrangement of the Supreme Lord so that we could hear this pastime? Or was it due to some contamination in her heart? We shouldn't jump to conclusions. We should remain with our honor to Parvati and say we don't understand what's behind things. Just like when Maharaj Parikshit cursed or put the snake around that Muni, it was Krishna's arrangement. And we shouldn't think that, Maharaj Parikshit, you know, he blew it. This was an arrangement by Krishna so that Srimad Bhagavatam could be heard. So I can't say what was the, you know, because it's not told in the Shastra about Parvati. But we can come to understand that she is a very exalted personality. And what came out of this pastime was very instructive, and we have grown from it if we take advantage of it, and we have benefited from it. So, and it's in the Srimad Bhagavatam, so something is special about it, and which makes it worthy of us taking advantage of. Okay, any other questions, comments? Is that okay? If I said anything wrong, someone can speak up. I do make mistakes. I do have imperfect senses. I am an illusion sometimes. So on and so forth. Okay, we'll end here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Namo Vishnu Vidai Kasutava Guru 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 Vidai Kasutava